Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Live from the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, as always, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a whole lot cooking today. Mia O'Brien, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars, she's going to stop by with us at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Time, 1:20 p.m. Pacific today. Ryan Hot Take Kiki, since we forgot about him yesterday in his normal Wednesday spot, he will join us today in studio at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. A whole lot to do, but I'm going to start the show off today with a defense of a certain quarterback that's still remaining in the NFL postseason. And I think you could figure out who I'm going to defend. But right out of the gate, I'm going to ask Stuart Kovacs a simple question. So, Stu, I'm going to ask you to put on your thinking cap. It's going to be the toughest thing I ask you for the next 3 hours of our radio extravaganza. I have quarterback A, and I have quarterback B. In their last game, quarterback A was 16 of 25 for 177 passing yards with one touchdown, no interceptions. Quarterback A also had 7 carries for 14 yards. So quarterback A, one more time, 16 of 25 for 177 yards passing with the touchdown. Carries-wise, 7 carries for 14 yards. That's quarterback A. Quarterback B, he was 15 of 20 for 128 yards, no passing touchdowns, no interceptions, but had 7 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. So quarterback B, 15 of 20 for 128 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 7 carries for 70 yards with the rushing touchdown. Which quarterback would you rather have?
I think B because the rushing touchdown and the rushing yards, I feel like, puts him over the top of whoever the other quarterback is.
Right, because the passing was both rather pedestrian. It wasn't that impressive. You know, quarterback A completed 64% of his passes, had more passing yards, 177, had a passing touchdown. Quarterback B, though, had 75% completion percentage, only 128 yards, and tossed for a touchdown, but then added a different element on the ground. 7 carries, 70 yards with the rushing touchdown. So, quarterback A is Patrick Mahomes. Quarterback B is Jalen Hurts. Now, don't get me wrong, sports fans. This is not Zach Gelb with a hot take saying, I'd rather have Jalen Hurts over Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that. But it's just showing you, with Jalen Hurts going up against the Rams and Patrick Mahomes going up against the Houston Texans, I think the criticism directed towards Jalen Hurts is a little overblown. And Jalen Hurts, for the most part in his Eagles tenure, he has exceeded the expectations, and his entire career, whenever he is counted out or whenever he's doubted, he ends up looking pretty damn good compared to what is said about him. Now, yes, I'd rather have Mahomes over Hurts. Duh. That's the obvious statement. But you look at those numbers in those last playoff games, I don't see how, when you look at quarterback A, quarterback B without knowing the name, why you wouldn't rather have quarterback B. And I think it's a flaw in the way that we evaluate mobile quarterbacks now. Because, like, Mahomes is not mobile for the most part, north and south. He is more mobile sideline to sideline, where he extends the play. And yes, in the postseason, he has more of an inclination to run down the field if it is asked of him. But for Jalen Hurts, he's not really doing his running sideline to sideline, east to west. He's doing his running downfield, and that's a majority of a big intimidation factor that it creates, because you don't know whether you love Hurts' arm or not. You don't know whether he's going to run the ball, whether he's going to flip it off to Saquon Barkley, or if he's going to hold it himself and hit one of the multitude of weapons that he has, whether it's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, or a Dallas Goedert, who Dallas Goedert, the last two postseason games, has played really well. But Stu, and I didn't talk to Stu before the show. This is one of the rare days. I walked in here. I had a bunch of things to do behind the scenes. I got in to this studio 3 minutes before the show started. I said, Stu, how you doing? And that was the extent of our conversation. You know, nice Raiders shirt that you're wearing. Hopefully you guys can find the head coach soon, for crying out loud. You know, that's what I said to Stu. But what Stu said, I think, is very important in a way that I don't think us as football fans have acknowledged it yet, in terms of our evaluation of the quarterback. But when you have a mobile quarterback, the rushing yards have to be factored in to the overall performance. Because I see on a lot of these graphics, right, when they put Jalen Hurts up, it just, oh, his last game, he was 15 of 20 for 128 passing yards, no passing touchdowns, no interceptions. A lot of times these networks, and also us fans, since it's a quarterback, and we've been told, right, most of us our lives, traditional passing quarterbacks, those are the ways that you win. Well, this is a new era of football. Like, look at the weekend that we're about to have. The four quarterbacks remaining, they all have some sort of mobility. And I would say that Josh Allen, right, is a true dual threat quarterback. Jaden Daniels is a true dual threat quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a true dual threat quarterback. And Mahomes is a mobile quarterback when he needs to. He could kill you with his legs, but a lot of his running is from sideline to sideline to create the play and then do the magician things that Patrick Mahomes usually does. So you have to embrace the rushing yards, and we should really now be looking at total yards that a quarterback does generate. Because I was sitting in the press box last week, and people were like, oh, Jalen's having a bad game. And I'm like, he's really not having that bad of a game. And I also think people need to remember with Jalen Hurts, he was hurt last week. No, I know that he was coming off the concussion and he already had a game under his belt up against Green Bay, which that game I did not think he played particularly well. The Green Bay game, I was like, they won that game because of their defense. But what you saw on Sunday, I'm not going to say he's the biggest reason why they won the game. It wasn't a perfect performance, but you can't tell me that you can't win with what Jalen Hurts was able to do. And also, the passing yards would have been up, and he would have had a passing touchdown to show for it if A.J. Brown, on what was a dime by Jalen Hurts, in the down the right sideline into the end zone, just caught the damn football, right? The ball was right in his breadbasket, and he couldn't catch it, A.J. Brown. You know, maybe he needs to channel his inner excellence and actually catch that ball. But you look at Jalen Hurts, I think the conversation that we've had with him has been blown out of proportion. And you look at the totality of his career, right? He was at Alabama, winning games at Alabama. Wasn't really appreciated. Now, they pulled him at halftime, and they were trailing up against Georgia in the national championship. And did it work? Yes, it did work. Tua Tagovailoa came in, and then in overtime, he had to pass down the left sideline to Devontae Smith, ironically enough, since now he's with the Philadelphia Eagles, and Alabama won the championship. But people tend to forget this. The following season, Jalen Hurts could have left. Jalen Hurts could have left Alabama. He stayed one more year, and it was in the SEC championship game up against Georgia where you saw Tua Tagovailoa get hurt, Jalen Hurts get inserted back in. He played really well, and Alabama won the SEC championship. So that was just a moment of redemption in college for Jalen Hurts. And also, let me add, when he transferred to Oklahoma, you know, not a ton of us, including myself, had great expectations for Jalen Hurts. But he got paired up with Lincoln Riley when Lincoln Riley was Lincoln Riley, not what he turned out to be today at USC. And Lincoln Riley and him were able to win the Big 12. They were able to have Jalen Hurts be in the college football playoff. And he didn't win the Heisman Trophy, but he was a Heisman Trophy finalist. And then you get into the draft process. He wasn't going to be a first-round pick. The Eagles picked him in the second round. Most of us shredded the Eagles for the time for making that pick with Howie Roseman. I'll raise my hand, including yours truly, because at the time you thought the Eagles had a guy who could be the franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. So you had Carson Wentz there, and everyone thought it was a wasted draft pick. Well, it ended up not being a wasted draft pick, because when he finally got the chance to start in 2021, that Eagles team, not many of us thought they were going to be a playoff team. They made the wild card, and Jalen Hurts lost to Tom Brady in a playoff game. That's Jalen Hurts' first true year starting. Exceeded expectations. The next year, all right, people thought the Eagles would be good, but you didn't think the Eagles would be 14-3 and in the Super Bowl. Where in that Super Bowl, I know they lost the game, but Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes statistically in that Super Bowl. Last year was a bad year. They started off 10-1, and I didn't think that Jalen Hurts did a great job as a leader. Sometimes Jalen Hurts is always just right in the middle level, right? There's some wins that you hear him and you would think that they lost. And I think when you act that way, you got to sometimes just show more joy and show more elation when your team wins, even though it comes from a good place of, oh, the job is not done yet. You know, I'll never forget NFC Championship game when the Eagles last got to the Super Bowl. And I asked Jalen Hurts, like, to process, right? You're going to the Super Bowl. You know, you won the NFC Championship game. Process, like, what this means. And he goes, you know that we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, that was it. So you want to just see a little bit more because you could be winning. And if you don't appreciate it, that could rub some people the wrong way in the locker room. And also, I didn't think he was demanding enough last year when that team was 10-1 and down the stretch. It was a complete another bleep show. But then look at this year. Honestly, how did most of us talk about the Eagles heading into this year? They have a ton of talent, but you really don't trust that locker room because of what happened last year starting 10-1. The Eagles right now are sitting at 14-3, and they are 60 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl. So my point on Jalen Hurts is this. Is he perfect? No. Would I call him an elite quarterback in the NFL? No. But Jalen Hurts is a very, very, very good quarterback that could beat you multiple ways, and he is a winning quarterback in this league. He hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, but when you look at your 4 years as a starter, 9-8 wild card appearance, 14-3 lost in the Super Bowl, 11-6 lost in the wild card round, now 14-3, and you're 60 minutes away from being a quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles that in a 4-year run has been to 2 Super Bowls, how can you really bitch about a lot? How can you really complain about a lot? Like, Stu, I would imagine you would like a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. If I told you right now for your Raiders, Stu, you may not win a Super Bowl, but you go to a wild card round, a Super Bowl, a wild card round, and you're playing in an NFC championship game. I know for the Raiders, it'd be in the AFC. I think you would take that success and that production from a Jalen Hurts, right?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Now, with all that being said, even with my defense of Jalen Hurts, I think a major question mark heading into this game this weekend at Lincoln Financial Field is the health of Jalen Hurts. And it's not with the cabeza anymore coming off the concussion. That leg, I want to see how healthy he is, because the mobility is such a big part of the game. And you look back, the one defining play to me that I thought was very troubling and very concerning is that safety that he took in that game up against the Rams. I have never seen a quarterback where the ball is snapped from the eight, unless if it's a bad snap, take a safety when the ball is snapped from the eight. That's a pretty good distance to make sure that you're not in the end zone. Now, I argue that the Eagles should have ran the ball in that spot with Kellen Moore, you know, the play caller. They elected to throw it, but you could tell there was not a lot of mobility on that leg for Jalen Hurts. Now, I've seen he's limited in practice this week. I saw he was on the practice field today as the Eagles are practicing outside. I believe at Lincoln Financial Field was the video that I saw, not at their NovaCare Complex facility, which is right down the road. So the health of Jalen Hurts is going to be massive in this one. And I thought this was fascinating. This is Joe Witt, the defensive coordinator for the Commanders. You want to add a little spice, a little fire to this NFC Championship game between, you know, two NFC East foes, I guess is the right way to say it, with the Eagles and the Commanders. Listen up to the DC of the Washington Commanders.
If he's going to run the ball and if the coordinator makes a decision for him to run the ball, we're going to treat him like a running back. And we're going to hit him that way, you know, so that's their decision if they want to get him hit the way that he gets hit. If they don't, they'll keep him in the pocket. So, but that's what we're going to do.
I take that as we don't get intimidated by Jalen Hurts, the passer. So we are going to basically say, if you put your quarterback and you have your quarterback go outside the pocket and starts running down the field, if we catch up to him, we're going to pop him. And we may even pop him, you know, he didn't say it, but this is the way that I took it. Maybe even after the whistle. Like, it wouldn't surprise me there's an unsportsmanlike conduct, the late hit by the Washington Commanders this past weekend. And I kind of said, was that Greg Williams? You know, that's what I kind of thought that quote was by Joe Witt. And I have no problem with Joe Witt saying. You know, they're a physical football team, the Commanders. They're playing above what was expected out of them. And if you're going to have the quarterback run, right? It's why I don't like when Mahomes does it and he waits to the last second to slide and then two Texans players hit each other and it's like, oh, you hit Mahomes. It's a flag, right? It's stupid. But if the quarterback's going to run, he's treated as a running back. Whether the officials treat it that way or not, that's different. But if I'm a defensive player, that's my mentality. But that's what I'm looking for this week. How mobile is Hurts going to be with that leg injury and how much does that impact this NFC title game? But I'll ask you this. How do you view Jalen Hurts as a quarterback? 855-212-4227. And whether it's at Alabama, Oklahoma, or now the NFL, I think he's a very good quarterback, not an elite quarterback, but a very good quarterback who does the most important thing, and that's win a crap ton of football games. And to me, let's be real. What do you care about the most? Do you win the game or do you lose the game? And Jalen Hurts wins a lot more games rather than the games that he participates in and that he loses. So how do you view Jalen Hurts? 855-212-4227. Whole lot cooking today. Mia O'Brien, great Jaguars reporter. She's going to stop by at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time. We'll try to get her best educated guess on who is going to be coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2025. Ryan Hot Take Hickey going to join us in studio at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time as well. We're off and running on a very busy Thursday. When we come on back, Saints, Cowboys, Jaguars, Raiders. I've given you before who I think they will hire. Now I'll give you, if I was doing the search, who should they hire? Who would I hire if Zach Gelb was in charge of the Saints, the Cowboys, the Jaguars, and the Raiders? Coming on back.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more Messi. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to Messi exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So I like James Palmer a lot. Does a great job covering the NFL. And James Palmer was the first person, right, who originally was talking about Ben Johnson and going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then when he joined us, he's like, you know what? I have to retract that, because a lot of people that were telling me that was going to be the case. It's cooled down significantly since the Jacksonville Jaguars elected to keep Trent Baalke. And that was like within 24 hours when you find out everyone expected Trent Baalke was going to be gone. Then Trent Baalke stays. And it's like, oh, he was basically saying that like the chances of that happening were basically donezo with. So now we know that the Jaguars job is maybe viewed a little bit differently, but how you got there, it's an absolute mess. So I don't think it's a job that's going to be that attractive. My guess for it right now is that it's going to be probably Joe Brady. That is probably what I would think. But you do have Trent Baalke out, so does that change the job? And could you maybe go get back a Liam Cohen? We'll have to wait and see. So the reason why I bring up James Palmer, though, has nothing to do with the Jaguars. But Stu, James Palmer just had this a few moments ago. Pete Carroll to the Raiders is generating, quote, a lot of buzz, close quotes. That's according to James Palmer, formerly of the NFL Network, now does a great job with Underdog Fantasy and Bleacher Report as an NFL insider. I know you'd be very happy if that's the case, Stu.
Yes.
But I think that would be, for the first time, I'm trying to think. Because even Antonio Pierce, right, he was the interim, so you were fine with the hire, but it wasn't as if you were jumping for joy. That would be the first jump for joy hire probably in a while. That the Raiders have made.
I would say so. Like, I liked the Del Rio hire. I thought it was pretty solid at the time.
Yeah.
I wasn't too crazy about bringing Gruden back the second time.
I didn't like it either, because Gruden was an overrated coach at that point.
And, you know, you got, like, Lane Kiffin in there. That was kind of a weird one. North Turner, Art Shell. There's been a lot of interesting coaches, for sure. A lot of coaches.
Stu, when were you born?
91.
91. Stuart Kovacs was born in 91. So you had Art Shell, you had White as the coach, Mike White. Then you had Joe Bugle, John Gruden. Then you had Callahan, right? Bill Callahan for a few years. Then you had North Turner, Tom Cable. Lane Kiffin into... Oh, no, you had Art Shell again. I forgot. He came back. There's so many.
He did.
Lane Kiffin, Tom Cable, Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson was only there for a year, right?
Yeah, he went 8-8. They probably should have brought him back, but they didn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
How it went in Cleveland, I can't really say that they made a bad decision there. Dennis Allen. Tony Sperano. Remember him? He was the coach. Did he replace Dennis Allen? Was out of it?
He was the interim after Allen got canned, I believe.
Del Rio. Gruden. Then Bisaccia taking over Gruden. McDaniels, then Pierce taking over McDaniels.
It's a lot of coaches.
And then Pierce for a year and then out. So you said 91, right?
That's right.
Just in terms of the interim, the full time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, oh my God, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 coaches, whether head coach or interim, since 1991.
More coaches than playoff games that I remember.
That's crazy. 18, they'll finally be legal. You know? That's wild. Wild with the Raiders. But Pete Carroll, right? It's such a tough job when you look at the Raiders because you look around. You're standing up and you're looking up at Mahomes and Andy Reid. Say what you want about Herbert and Bo Nix, right? Better than anything that the Raiders have. And you have Sean Payton and you also have Jim Harbaugh. And you don't have a coach right now and you don't have a quarterback. So that's tough. But you got Brock Bowers and you got Mad Max who, like, let's be real. Like, as much as you don't want to see them trade probably Max Crosby, with how far away this team is, don't you trade him now while he's still in his prime? To just get back like 2 first-round picks.
Because even if you wait, again, if you wait a year or two.
He's 27.
Yeah, so he's going to be almost 30, and then you're not going to get.
And we'll be 28 for the start of the season, too.
Yeah. So you might get 2 firsts now, and if you do that, that's probably a good move. If you wait another year, you might only get 1 first, or maybe not even a first. Who knows? You never know. That's a problem.
By the way, out of those 17 coaches, who is your least favorite? Just wondering.
Wow. It is between Dennis Allen and Josh McDaniels for sure. They were both. Almost equally terrible.
So Dennis Allen and Josh McDaniels. I would think most Raiders fans probably hate McDaniels more than Dennis Allen, right?
I think so. Those two were pretty bad, though.
Then do you have a third that you dislike? If you had to give me the top three?
I mean, Art Shell was just... It was just a mess from the beginning. I believe that was the year they won 2 games. I could be wrong.
2-14. So you said the second time around, obviously.
That's the year they won 2 games and drafted Jamarcus the next year.
Yeah.
That was just terrible. And it's hard because it was just a terrible spot. And at the timeout, Davis was running everything. And
the first time it worked fine.
Yes.
But the second time, disaster.
Not so good. I believe Aaron Brooks was the quarterback to start that season.
Aaron Brooks. Remember him on the Saints?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. I haven't heard that name in forever. Aaron Brooks. I wonder what... Put Aaron Brooks in on social media. First thing that comes up, Aaron Brooks, the wrestler, who's born in 2000. That's not good for Aaron Brooks. Aaron Brooks, the quarterback, there's no information on him. He's 48 years old now.
Sounds about right.
And last thing on Wikipedia, it says Raiders 2006. That's it. So, geez, I wasn't expecting an Aaron Brooks mention today. But anyway... When you get to coaching hires, if I was running the team, this is what I would do right now. And I think Pete Carroll would bring respectability, or you would at least have a chance to prevent the Titanic from sinking, right? Like, you're starting to sink. Now you just need someone to just, even if you're right, you have a few holes in the ship and, you know, you got some busted parts of the ship, you got to just make sure that the ship can somewhat sail. You know, sail for a little bit, sail for a few years. So, yeah, I think the Raiders are trying to get a big name. They tried for Ben Johnson. It was an admirable try. Ben Johnson liked to go to the Chicago Bears. If I'm running the Raiders, if I'm Tom Brady, I would make Pete Carroll my next head coach. If I'm running the Cowboys, I'm at a point. So I got to put myself in the mind of Jerry Jones. He's all about drama. He don't give a rat's ass about winning football games. At this point, I would just hire Prime. I would just hire Prime, say bleep it. You know, if we're going to hire Schottenheimer or if we're going to hire Kellen Moore, and I think it's now going to be Schottenheimer, like, what does that do for you? Right? When we had on Bobby Carpenter earlier the week, and he's like, oh, they're trying to find the middle ground between Mike McCarthy and then Jason Garrett. Blah. Like, disgusting. Yuck. P.U. Just hire Coach Prime. Just give him the job. It would at least be entertaining. It would at least be fun. So, Raiders, Pete Carroll, if I'm running the hiring... Cowboys, I would go with Deion Sanders, and then Saints and Jaguars. I think the Saints, right, you're in a division that is not great. Like, you're in a division right now where Tampa Bay's the team. Atlanta, they're there, but they're not, like, a big threat. The Panthers, let's see what happens next year with Bryce Young, but saved his career, salvaged his career. I look at the Saints... I think they're a good landing spot for McCarthy. Like, you missed out on Aaron Glenn. Could you hire Brian Flores? Sure. But Brian Flores without a quarterback, it's a question mark. So I would just say you bring in Mike McCarthy and at least have a respectable name that's brought in as the head coach. And you know what? The Jaguars, I would try to get Liam Cohen back. If Liam Cohen has any pride, though, after making that decision, I don't think that you go there even though you wanted Trent Baalke out and they finally gave you what you want. But I wouldn't trust Shad Khan. I wouldn't. And you know what? It's time for us to really start just shredding Shad Khan nationally. Like, I don't know what else I could do after the rant that I went on yesterday. And you know what, Jaguars fans, let me just say something to you. I guess a few Jaguars fans are unhappy with me yesterday because I'm like, oh, that you got 37 Jaguars fans. It was tongue-in-cheek. It was a joke. I sat there for 15 minutes yesterday and shredded, absolutely shredded your organization and shredded your owner, who is a big buffoon right now. So if I make one tongue-in-cheek comment about the 37 Jaguars fans, like, give me a break that you're so sensitive about that. You know, it wasn't like I'm like, okay, I understand that there's more than 37 Jaguars fans. I saw you guys dress up as clowns, which I thought was very funny. But Shad Khan is an owner since 2012 still. He's 64-148. 64-148, only three winning seasons. And he's hired not as many coaches as the Raiders have hired in your lifetime, but he has hired five head coaches, soon to be six. Think about that. Since 2012, he is 64-148. And they almost won a Super Bowl, which is wild that one year when they got to the AFC Championship game and then Brady had the comeback with my New England Patriots in Foxborough. But 64-148. You know how we talk about Jerry Jones now? And then we talk about David Tepper now, right? All these owners, Woody Johnson, all the punchline owners in the NFL. I feel like we don't punch Shad Khan enough in terms of talking about him. But 64-148 is something. If I'm Shad Khan, I got two names on my list. And I already put Pete Carroll on the Raiders. So it's Pete Carroll or it's Joe Brady, right? Pete Carroll at least brings some respectability. You could salvage Trevor Lawrence with Pete Carroll because Pete does a good job at the QBs. But I would just go for the young, innovative offense of mine. And whenever the Bills run in, I would go hire Joe Brady at this point because you were going to basically try to do that with Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen. So you get that third young, innovative offense of mine who Joe Brady, a long time ago, used to be a really hot name. Remember him with that national championship team at LSU? Then things didn't work out with the Carolina Panthers when he was Matt Rule's OC. And then he winds up in Buffalo, which is the quarterback's coach. In the last 2 years, takes over as the offensive coordinator and has done a good job. I know he has Josh Allen, but you don't have a ton around Josh Allen. But Joe Brady's done a very good job with that Buffalo Bills offensive side of the ball. So if I'm making the hires, Saints McCarthy, I would then, if I'm the Cowboys, just hire Coach Prime because Jerry Jones only operates this organization with drama. Jaguars, I would go with Joe Brady. And then the Raiders, Pete Carroll. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Zach Yelp here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll take you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief next. Update time first. Here's Zach. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your home at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Mark Andrews has spoken. He did not speak to the media since he dropped that what would have been game-tying two-point conversion. He has issued a statement on his Instagram, and this was from a few moments ago. It's impossible to adequately express how I feel. I'm absolutely gutted by what happened on Sunday. I'm devastated for my teammates, my coaches, and Ravens fans. I pour every ounce of my being into playing at the highest level possible because I love my team and the game of football like nothing else. That is why it's taken me until now to collect my thoughts and address this publicly. Even though the shock and disappointment are unlike anything I've ever dealt with before, I refuse to let this situation define me. I promise that this adversity will only make me stronger and fuel us as we move forward. I thank everyone who has shown me and our team genuine support these past several days. Despite the negativity, I've seen heartfelt love and encouragement, including from those who have generously donated to the Breakthrough T1D organization. Even when the moment seem darkest, perspective can reveal that there's still a lot of light in this world. I'm now going to do my part to bounce back and contribute to it. Hashtag God bless. So respectable statement there from Mark Andrews. You know, I feel bad for the guy, I do. And that's a good football player, has had a good career, and there's just certain players you could have a really good career and one blunder happens in a spot and you get remembered for it forever. Like, look at the late, great Bill Buckner. Had arguably a Hall of Fame caliber type of career, right? Some could argue. And Bill Buckner is remembered for the error in Game 6 of the 1986 World Series. You know, Russell Wilson, for example. Like, Russ is probably going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Has like nine Pro Bowls, I believe. Has won a Super Bowl. But the first thing you think about with Russell Wilson is the goal line interception. Matt Ryan, right? Look at him. You know, Matt Ryan, you could argue. Like, let me ask you this, Stu. When you look back at the NFL, Matthew Stafford. You think Matthew Stafford will ultimately make the Hall of Fame, in your opinion?
I do. I think he will.
You think Matt Ryan will?
That one's a little more tricky. I say eventually he will, yes.
So I was talking to John Kincaid about this when I was in Philly last week. And, right, John did shows in Atlanta for 20 years, Philly guy, though, and now hosts Morning Drive at 97.5 The Fanatic. And I go, Matt Ryan has an MVP. Matthew Stafford does not. But I said to him, I bet you Matthew Stafford will have an easier case to make the Hall of Fame than Matt Ryan. Because unfortunately, even though Matt Ryan has won an MVP and had a lot of really damn good seasons, he is synonymous with most football fans from afar now of choking in a Super Bowl 28-3. Now, that was like a long choke in that game, right? It wasn't as if it was like the instant Malcolm Butler interception on Russell Wilson, the botch ball through his legs for Bill Buckner. You know, those moments are different. That changes someone's career, but it could still happen even if you have a big lead and then you blow it. But you take a look back at Matt Ryan, it's just one of those moments where, you know, a lot of people, they don't say, oh, Matt Ryan was a great quarterback. They go, Matt Ryan, and it was the quarterback of the Falcons who choked 28-3. And for Mark Andrews, it's kind of a shame because he's a really damn good player. Now, if he wins a Super Bowl, maybe it changes, right? That changes. And if you win a Super Bowl with the Ravens, but until then, it's going to be like, yeah, really great player, but had you dropped that ball when you were wide open for a two-point conversion, that would have tied the game. You know, I don't know if you would have won the game, but you would have tied the game. And that's got to be just so gut-wrenching on a player. And I know, right, they make millions and they live a great life, but they're still humans at the end of the day. And I think we lose sight of that when you get behind the microphone or, you know, when you talk about these players or cheer for these players or boo these players. You're like, hey, there's going to be stuff that we have to say in a critical fashion about players. I'm not sitting up here and be like, oh, you could ever criticize a player. He deserved to get criticized. You dropped the ball. You were the reason. It's rare that there's a singular reason why someone can lose a game. He's the singular reason why they lost that game. That's the one moment that you could look back to and you could just say, that can't happen. That costs you the game. But for him, he has to now go live his rest of his life. And that's something that when it's... See, if it was contested or something, I think it makes it easier. The fact that he was open, right? And the ball hit him right in the hands. And it wasn't as if, oh, a defensive player made a great play and knocked it out. Or you know, it got called back because of a holding or something like that. All he had to do was catch the ball. And that's a catch that he's made, what, 99 times out of 100 probably? And the one time that you don't, it could really define your career. So I do feel there is some sympathy for Mark Andrews, especially when you read a message like that. All right, let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's go to Sean McDermott. 0-3 up against the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason. They beat them the last four times in the regular season. Sean McDermott said the Buffalo Bills can't be scared of the big, bad Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, it's a mindset like we've talked about numerous times in here, right? And, you know, I think, there's some truth to that. In order to win, you can't be afraid to lose, and I think those two go hand in hand.
I think this is the first time that the Buffalo Bills enter the postseason with an effort mentality. Like, when they got to the AFC Championship game years ago, right, people, they were good, but there wasn't expectations on them. The 13-second game and everything that happened there, they made some boneheaded decisions at the end of that game. You go into last year, yeah, they were home. Yeah, there was some confidence. But there was still that fear, I think, of Kansas City because you had to still deal with the 13 seconds happening 2 years prior to that. This is the year where I sense the most confidence from this Bills team, where you even heard it from Cam Lewis, who joined us yesterday. This is a confident group. Now, will it translate to a victory? That I don't know. I do think the Bills are going to win this week. But I think the Bills locker room, I'm not saying it's been in a bad place, but I think it's been in the best place that it's ever been since Sean McDermott got there. And since this Bills team and this run that we've seen the last few years has been a part of. Let's go to Patrick Mahomes. Well, he doesn't think the Chiefs get preferential treatment from the Zebras.
I don't feel that way. I mean, I just try to play football at the end of the day. The referees are doing their best to call the game as fair and as proper as they possibly can. And all you can do is go out there and play the game that you love as hard as you can and live with the results. And so for me, it's to go out there, play hard, try to do whatever I can to win the football game. And then live with the results based off my effort and the way that we played the game. And so I think that's what we preach here in Kansas City.
He obviously gets preferential treatment. Stars get preferential treatment. It's nothing new. NFL, NBA, any sport, stars get preferential treatment. But I'm not sitting there expecting Mahomes to be like, yeah, I got the Zebras in my back pocket. You know, I can do whatever I want. I know I'm playing to a different standard of rules. Let's go to Rob Gronkowski. He was on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. I'm very curious to hear who Gronk names as the underrated players in this weekend's games.
Zach Ertz is a super reliable tight end. He's underrated. He had over 100 catches 1 year with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's top 10 in most catches ever. Zach Ertz is very decisive in everything that he does. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and make a 15, 20, 25-yard catch. He's going to keep the chains moving. Very reliable, especially with his hands. And he's great for third and short and in the red zone and keeps the chains going. So it's huge to have guys like that around a rookie quarterback.
Is Zach Ertz underrated, Stu? Like, he's old. He's an established name in this league. Like, he doesn't get viewed, obviously, in the same light as Gronk and Kelce. You know, I don't think he was that. Like, yeah, he's broken records before, but I don't think he's in that level of greatness when it comes to the Hall of Fame. But he's had a respectable career. And this is a big storyline, I think. It's Zach Ertz going into Philadelphia, a team he won a Super Bowl championship with, and now he's part of the Washington Commanders. Would you consider Zach Ertz an underrated name heading into this weekend?
Probably not. When you say underrated name, you think of like a young guy that's like a sixth or seventh round pick or undrafted free agent, not a guy that's won, you know, Super Bowls and been to Pro Bowls and all that kind of stuff. So I would say no.
Yeah, maybe because of the age, like he's a forgotten name, but I don't know. That was a weird one for me. It's like Gronk was basically trying to tell us of a player we'd never heard of before, and it's like, oh, yeah, we all know who Zach Ertz is. Let's go to Caleb Williams on his outfit yesterday at Ben Johnson's press conference.
The last 12 months for you have been pretty wild.
Yeah, that's why I have this suit on and then this outfit, because I look like I was in the Matrix. That's how I felt last year. So,
Morpheus.
Yeah, Morpheus, yeah.
I don't know, Stu. Is there an accountability problem in the Bears organization? Like, yes, it's easy to blame everything on Eberflus. Don't get me wrong. Eberflus should have never been the head coach last year. And I understand now you get Ben Johnson, so for Caleb Williams, it feels as if now your career is finally starting and you get new life. And I'm not saying that last year was really on Caleb Williams, but I just wonder if the Bears just think, oh, that they're automatically going to be good because now they have Ben Johnson as their head coach. And that's what I kind of felt when I heard that answer.
We will find out this year.
Yeah, no, we will definitely. They're a fascinating team. Finally, let's go to Brad Holmes. He's not worried that Goff will take a step back with a new offensive coordinator.
No, I can't say that. Obviously, he was very productive with Ben, you know, as a coordinator. But he had a lot of prior success before he even got here as well in a completely different system. And I think he's a better quarterback and more mature quarterback now than he was then when he had early success. So I don't foresee that again. I think the guy's in his prime. He's gotten better and better every year. And when I say prime, I think like just entering it because he keeps ascending.
I think what the Lions need to look at is kind of Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni lost his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator when you go back to after they made the Super Bowl and lost. He lost Jonathan Gannon. He lost Shane Steichen. Was it always pretty? No, last year was a disaster. But they've been able to find a way to get that stability back and be one of the four teams remaining and be back in that Super Bowl conversation. So do I think the Lions can do that? Do I think Jared Goff can do that? Do I think Dan Campbell could do that? Yes. And also, you look at the NFC, it's not as if you have a lot of teams that are really big-time threats that you think are these unmovable forces in the NFC. So what happens when you're a good team? You lose your coordinators. Is it easy replacing them? No, but can you? Absolutely, and I expect the Lions will be okay. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We're talking a little Super Bowl windows next.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!